Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 29 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? I'm David and we are back. And to my left is Matt. How are you, pal?
Good, mate. Once again, I can't hack it when we've got a two-week break. I get a bit sad, but it's nice to be back.
It is nice to be back and we have got a hell of a lot of stuff to talk about and bringing his weekly dose of negativity. Here he is, Alan. How are you, man?
I'm all right.
You all right?
Bought a fridge.
You bought a fridge?
Did.
Lovely.
Real boring purchase.
Fridge freezer?
Yeah, of course. Not just getting a fridge.
Bad thing to spend money though on, isn't it?
And I had to pay 35 quid to get the door switch sides. So that's why I'm a bit sour.
Well, moving swiftly on. But thank you very much for bringing that little nugget of your personal life and your personal negativity to the pod. Thanks again for joining us, guys. As Matt said, we've been off for a couple of weeks, but man, have we got a show for you today. Loads to catch up on. And you've been chatting to us lots and lots on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod and on the Instagram, Thistle Understroke Rugby Understroke Pod. And reviews, as always, thank you so much for everyone who gets on there, leaves a review, helps us get up the charts, helps new people find us, which they are every week, which is great. How about this review from BC Luli? It's only 4 stars, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It says, love it. Great news, views, and interviews. Nice, relaxed style. Could maybe do more preparation and less swearing. Keep them coming. Thoughts on that?
I refuse to start doing preparation for this podcast.
I'm not doing any fucking preparation.
Well, we're relaxed. We're relaxed, as he says, which means we do bad prep and we probably swear a lot. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
The upsetting thing is I actually do a lot of preparation for this podcast and it comes across like I don't do any preparation.
Yeah. The time you put into the quizzes versus the number of errors is a real issue.
That is true.
Well, as we say, thanks a lot. Please get onto iTunes, leave us a review, and we'll read it out on the pod. And also, if you've got a longer view, we're going to start reading out a little bit of correspondence from the fans on email. If you're not on the social medias, you can send us an email at thethistlerugby@gmail.com, and we'll have a look through those and talk about some of the issues of the week. So please do get in touch. We love hearing from you. Right, so we're going to have a quick canter through the news. Some really significant news for Scottish rugby this week, so some great stuff to talk about there. And then 3 Thistley issues. Issue number 1, are Edinburgh better than Glasgow? Issue number 2, will the Super Six work? And issue number 3, can Edinburgh beat Munster? So
a lot of real punchy titles there.
A lot of punchy titles. Trying to keep people listening to the end of the pods, you know. So why don't we get straight into the news? And I think the biggest bit of news this week, outside of the Super Six, which we'll come on to later is the new TV deal. It's been talked about and speculated about earlier on in the year, but Pro 14 is now officially a Premier Sports product. They are going to be offering live coverage of every single game, which is good for about £99 a season. Here is what Scottish, the chief operating officer of the SRU had to say.
We're absolutely delighted today to be announcing the Premier Sports becoming the key broadcast partner for the Guinness Pro 14. It means that every single game will be broadcast live. That's 152 games live in HD, and there will be a one-stop shop for supporters to come and watch every Glasgow and every Edinburgh every rugby match this season and for the three seasons ahead.
Can't believe we're getting HD, lads. 2018, it's arrived.
Can't wait. My TV is HD ready, and I'm ready to watch HD rugby.
I am so ready for HD.
And they're all going to be in HD. That's the best all part.
Cheetahs versus the Kings in HD. Can you even?
Glorious HD. I mean, I think that was a weird sort of selling point. You know, surely HD has been around for long enough that it's not a sort of unique point.
I think you just panicked slightly. Yeah. Auto cue went down and he was like, oh my God, what am I going to do here?
Possibly, but I think moving on to the more substantive point, there's been an awful lot of disgruntled fans saying that, you know, it's coming off free to air. There's an awful lot of love for BBC Alba out there. Alan, coming to you, what effect do you think this will have on the game?
I think there will be a lot less people watching the games, and that's just ultimately a fact that when you put it free to air, there is just a lot more sort of people who wouldn't be willing to pay, who will just watch it because it's there and maybe are more likely to get into rugby based off that fact. However, as we sort of talked about before, is they need money. English Rugby's just signed a massive new deal. Top 14 have just signed a massive new deal. And whilst you'd obviously love to keep rugby on free to air, the BBC, S4C just weren't willing to pay enough.
I haven't really paid much attention to this, so I might have to leave the discussion to TV. Okay. No, I think it's just, I suppose that Premier Sports, to me, doesn't have much of a cachet as a brand, and that might put a few people off, but the price seems reasonable.
I think the price is reasonable if the only thing you want to pay for sports-wise is Pro 14 rugby.
Yeah.
For people who may say have an interest in a wider range of sports and therefore have to pay for Sky on top of this, it's just annoying that something that you used to get for included, you now have to pay an extra £10 for. But you're right, for people who have free to air and only want to watch pay for Pro 14 rugby, I think it's an absolutely great deal.
I think it's great. I mean, speaking personally, I don't have Sky or anything like that, and you know, £100 to have something on a tablet, my iPhone or whatever it is,
yeah,
that I can watch. I've got no idea what that product's going to be like. But I think, you know, there's a little bit more money for the clubs. Like Sky, the billing that these games were getting on Sky was pretty poor.
Yes.
Yeah. And the coverage on Alba is pretty good, but it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think, you know, at least now, I think, again, sort of looking at 2018, sort of, is this a professional league? Every game is going to be available.
Every game's going to have a TMO.
Every game's going to have a TMO, for Christ's sake. Like, this is... I actually think it's a big move forward.
Pretty shocking it didn't have one. Yeah, I know. didn't know that.
But do you remember, we've been doing the pod for long enough now, when we remember those games which were just like, there aren't any highlights. These games are not on TV.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, particularly sort of Italian matches.
As a fan, it's really difficult.
One thing, I thought Air Sports still own the rights to the Irish matches. Does that just mean all Irish derbies?
No. So Premier Sports have the rights in Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, Air Sports have the rights to all games.
So if Leinster are playing Glasgow at the RDS,
it will be on both Air Sport and Premier Sports.
Oh, I see. It won't just be on Air Sports.
They have it regionally, not split by games.
Okay.
I think the idea is, the worry is that Premier Sports is relatively small. And I guess the point to counteract that is, you said, for Premier Sports, Pro 14 is going to be their biggest property.
Yep.
So the hope is that if they're using this as a flagship competition to really sort of boost subscriber numbers, they're going to put on a good show and they're going to invest a lot of money in it. So yeah, I'm open to it.
I'm open to it. Hopefully they'll do a decent job. And I think it is worth mentioning, there is also one free game per round on a sort of on, it's called Free Sports, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They've got a free channel.
They have a free channel, and there's going to be one game per round free to air. So there is a little bit of a free to air element as well. So, you know, make of that what you will.
I'm sure Premier Sports are listening. And if you want three young bucks to present your
absolutely
this your coverage of the any of the Scottish games, then
it was a weekly highlight show as well. So I think let's put our best foot forward on this pod, lads.
Probably wouldn't prove that they're investing a lot of money in their product if they hire a few young bucks to fly over on a Friday.
We're extremely expensive as well. That's the thing.
We're deluxe.
Fine. Well, I'm sure there will be plenty more chat about that, but I think we're willing to give the benefit of the doubt on that deal at the moment. Although my dad was kicking off about it on Twitter, so he's not happy. Says it was an accountant's decision. Love you, Dad. Second point, Sam Hidalgo-Klein confirmed off to Scarlets. What do you think of that move?
Well, I'm to the Grand Cru gossip, mate.
Mate, I know. I was told that he was going to Bristol in the end. Got it wrong. It's sort of fed so many. People know that we're big now, and they're just, you know, agents are using us. Friends of players are using us.
That is true.
I think it's a shame. I think that we'll come on to talk about it, but in the 1872 at the weekend, he was, I thought George Horn played well as well, but he was the best scrum half on the pitch, and the drop-off when Nathan Fowles came on was absolutely unbelievable. And I think that Scottish Rugby, I don't know about the demands he was making, but could have done a bit more to keep him. And I think Scarlets have got a really class player. He's on pretty good form.
Well, it was interesting. There was something in the Sunday Times at the weekend that the SRU had sort of come back to the table. There were some talks to sort of a bit of a cut price deal, which he looked like he was taking. But, you know, maybe he needs to get out of Edinburgh. He stagnated a little bit. Scarlets is a club on the up. My biggest concern is that he's going to be behind second fiddle, you would think, to Gareth Davis down there. Really quality Welsh player. I think he can probably benefit from getting away. My bigger concern is, do Edinburgh fill that gap, or do they go ahead with Charlie Sheo, Nathan Fowles, and Sean Kennedy for next year, which would be, I think, their weakest position in the squad by a long, long way.
I mean, they can't. Like, yeah, they just straight up can't. Like, Sean Kennedy is fine. I keep wanting Nathan Fowles to play well, and he just...
It's not going to happen.
It's just not happening for him.
He's just got a couple of moments every game which are just bonkers.
He's trying so hard.
Confidence is absolutely shot. You can see him on the pitch. He's trying so hard, and he just keeps like either getting hit in the head or throwing it behind.
I just don't think he's got the quality either, even if he was playing at his best level. And I think you could say the same about all those guys. Charlie Sheel, I'm sure, has a lot of potential. Yeah. Candy playing at his very best is, you know, no more than a slightly above average player.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get someone in.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep an eye on that. And any rumours you have, please slide into our DMs or send us an email. How about this? Dan McFarlane, Scotland forwards coach, has been confirmed as Ulster's head coach as of January 2019. So he's sticking around until the end of the year. Carl Hogg is coming in on an interim basis to fill that role. I think they're going to do a joint role on the summer tour and probably through the autumn. What do you guys think of that? It seems to be a big loss. He's made a massive impact on the Scotland forwards.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the players are massive fans of McFarlane, and even some of the pundits have come out and have just said how much of a loss it is for Scottish rugby to lose someone like that. And it's a bit weird for Ulster why they've decided to go for someone who's going to join them halfway through their season. I imagine if the shoe was another foot and we were getting an Irish assistant coach to sort of Edinburgh, Glasgow, and he was going to turn up halfway through the season post a pretty poor season, I think we'd all be pretty pissed off about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's always hard to tell from the outside how much difference an assistant coach makes, but he does seem really highly regarded.
Yeah.
And I think on the other side of the coin, Carl Hogg has sort of always been part of the furniture in Worcester. And considering they've sort of changed their head coach, director, rugby, whatever, quite a bit. The fact that he's stayed there, clearly he's held in quite high regard. And it's good to have a Scottish coach coming in, young Scottish coach coming in as well.
Moving on to a couple of announcements from Glasgow in the last couple of weeks. This was a while ago. Ryan Wilson has re-signed. We have our issues with him. 2-year contract. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fine. Yes, he's a good club player. He'll be very good for Glasgow. I don't think he's the back row they need, but he's the back row we have.
Very succinct. Matt, anything to add?
Can't add much more. I mean, he's clearly popular and he's quite an important player as a, well, quite important leader there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah. Fair enough. I think it makes sense.
We are on the record with our thoughts on Ryan Wilson.
I know. And the exact player class we need is Mata.
Yeah.
But he just plays bloody Edinburgh. Like, Mata was the standout back row.
Definitely.
At the weekend and played Wilson off the park.
Easily.
And
yeah, he's amazing.
That goal forward ball, those big hits. Just getting someone like that into the Glasgow back row would just make such a difference. But yeah.
Agreed. Good and hooker Pat MacArthur is retiring at the end of the year. Something like 165 or thereabouts Glasgow caps.
Feels like he's been reserve hooker for 11 years.
I think it's only him, Harley and Kellick.
Kellick. I think they're
the
top
most
three.
Caps. Yeah, I always thought that he never really got a fair shot at Scotland, particularly when he was sort of in 25, 26.
Yeah.
It seemed like Scotland just, I think it was when Scott Johnson was coach actually, just would pick any hooker apart from
him.
Yeah. His timing's always been, it's just been a little bit off as well because he was kind of second string to Dougie Hall. And just as Dougie Hall was retiring, that's when Fraser Brown really kicked on.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
That kind of moment to go on and be first choice, hooker kind of just went away.
And then you've got a few young guys. You've also got Brown, Turner, Grant Stewart and James Malcolm behind, so you know it kind of makes sense from a squad perspective.
Well, then really weirdly, I just remembered there was that piece on BBC a couple of days ago about the Cheetahs hooker that Glasgow tried to get.
Yeah,
he's gone to Bayonne.
Bayonne, yeah,
in Pro D2.
And supposedly for the same amount of money.
Yeah, so obviously they're looking for an additional hooker.
Mm.
But
interesting.
It doesn't feel like a position that they need to be spending cash on.
Absolutely not. Well, we will keep an eye on that. One final little bit of news, a little nugget of gossip which we have picked up, is about Edinburgh's little mini Murrayfield plans for next year. And it looks like it maybe not going to be ready in time for next season. They might be playing in the big stadium again next year.
The floodplain won't be available.
The floodplain's not going to be available.
Mate, the environmental
tests
has gone in and be like, are you mad?
Environmental lobby's kicked off.
This is next to the railway line. Are you mental?
Looks like they might be playing in the big stadium again next year. Which, well,
back to Murrayfield.
Murrayfield.
Edinburgh making so many forward steps. Come on.
It does feel like a backward step. You know, there's a bit of momentum. And having that sort of what was 8,000 to 10,000 seater stadium, even if it was temporary, just felt like a much better proposition going back into
absolutely
the big old cauldron.
Well, we will see how that progresses, but that is what we're hearing at the moment. So come on, Edinburgh, do something different. Right, should we get into Thistle issue number one? And it is a big one. It is punchy. It's the second time that we have addressed this question on the Thistle Scottish Rugby podcast. Are Edinburgh Rugby better than Glasgow Warriors? Matt, I'm coming to you first. Go.
So the evidence for, they just won the 1872 Cup.
Yep.
And I think from the point that they started at this season to have achieved what they have compared to Glasgow, who I mean still, you know, have won the league in the regular season. Can't take that away from them. But I would say that you would say that Edinburgh are a better team.
Possibly, although they've both won the same amount of games.
Most amount of games in the Pro 14.
Yeah, it's just each Edinburgh hate getting bonus points.
Yeah,
they've scraped over a few.
I mean, it's truly remarkable that we've come to the end of the season and Edinburgh, who are in a league with Leinster, Scarlets and Ulster, have finished 2 points behind Leinster and Scarlets. Imagine if they'd beaten Treviso.
We would have won that league. Yeah, I know.
How ridiculous is that?
I know, it's amazing.
It is amazing, but let's go specifically to the match at the weekend, 1872. Edinburgh coming up 24-19 victors. I didn't see it. I was on a stag do at the weekend, so haven't seen anything but the highlights. Matt, why don't you take us through the sort of key moments from that?
I mean, I think the most amazing thing was we were probably all anticipating a really dour, you know, mistake-ridden game.
Like a classic 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, so look at the two ones from earlier
from
on
every
in the series.
Year, pretty much. It's always been pretty rubbish, but it was a really high-quality match. I thought all the tries, pretty much, apart from Jordan Lay's little trundle over the line, were really well-crafted. The match had that intensity that has probably been lacking in a few of the matches that before, and then had the execution as well, which has definitely been lacking. And it just felt like the crowd were really getting behind the
particularly the Edinburgh team. And yeah, it was just, I think if you were a neutral, you'd be watching that and thinking, well, there's two pretty good teams here.
What do you think was the difference in the end?
I think that Edinburgh probably have a bit more motivation, that sort of they are the underdogs.
Yeah.
And I think they just have, they do have like a slightly grittier team.
Yes.
And when the game is tight and they're denying Glasgow that quick ball, which I think they did a pretty good job of, then I think the strength of their front five and the back row as well, who I thought particularly, as we talked about, Bill Matta, and Jamie Ritchie was excellent as well.
Yeah.
Was really sort of dogged, determined. I think that was the difference.
I thought that Edinburgh back row completely played the Glasgow back row off the park.
And not that Glasgow are soft, but I just think that when we talked about it before, it's kind of the same with Scotland. If that plan A doesn't work,
yeah,
then there's not much else to fall back on.
Yeah. I tell you, I generally think it's been like my standout player of the season for Scotland and Edinburgh.
Go on then.
Simon Bergin. He is so good with the ball.
That is such a good show.
And across international and club games, when you compare his work around the park with even people like Xander Ferguson and Jamie Batty, I feel like he does, when he gets the ball in hand, he always makes go for a ball and he's so aggressive in the tackle. I think he's 100% starts for Scotland in these summer tours.
Yeah,
I think he's one that you definitely put in that sort of like bracket of players who have been made under Cockers or have found a new lease of life under Cockers. And you look at that pack, Rambo, Bergin, Toulis, Gilchrist has come on absolute leaps and bounds.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I think we
talked about Stuart McInally in Six Nations. Once again, he was absolutely incredible. Like 16 carries, so dynamic. Every single time he carried, he's got good footwork and he's sort of running, he's physical obviously, but he's running more at gaps than people, always getting over the gain line, and that just sort of set the tone.
So if Edinburgh have gone forward absolute leaps and bounds, let's have a look at Glasgow. There's some chatter on Twitter, people suggesting that Dave Rennie's taking this squad backwards as opposed to forwards. What's your guys' take on that?
I think he's done well with what he was given and the timings that he had. You got to remember, he came in quite late into pre-season. Remember, he was having sessions with like Kenny Murray while he was still coaching the Chiefs. And I think he's done pretty well. He obviously had a really good start to the season. I think it sort of tailed off a little bit. And I think with the fact that they're in the semi-finals, they've got a home tie, it's still going to be seen as a massive success when you compare it to last year. And give Dave Rennie a full pre-season with that team, I think next year they're going to be challenging on both European and domestic fronts.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that there maybe has been a bit of a backward step, but when you are embedding in new systems and a different way of playing and a different mindset, then that's potentially going to happen. And if Rennie is thinking about it as a long-term project, then he's probably not so fussed.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you can say, look, we played at like 60%, 70%, tops in the season, but we're still, you know, having a home playoff which you'd back them to win, then it's still pretty successful. It's all about expectations, isn't it, that coming off different bases from Edinburgh and Glasgow.
It does feel that there are some youngsters coming through in that Glasgow team who are going to add a hell of a lot next year. I mean, I think you look at the way George Horn's come on this year. I mean, Matt Ferguson's only 19 years old, for Christ's sake, and he's already starting at six in like these games. Like, there's players within that squad who've been blooded this year under Rennie, and you think that's only going to be a massive plus for them as we come into next season.
Absolutely. And I think it's a step back. When people talk about a step back, it's a step back on how well Glasgow played at the start of the season. Got to remember, last year we came sixth and we're about 30 points behind Munster at the end of the year. I'd say we're right now playing relatively similar to how we were last year, and it's actually the start of the season that was so far ahead of expectations that it's now making what's happening now look so bad. But look, I think you're right. I think it felt at the end of that game that Edinburgh weren't going to lose that game.
Yeah.
Which is, again, what we've talked about this whole year, of bringing in that mentality where last year, just how many games that Edinburgh lost in that last 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And coming to this year and how many games they've either won by 7 points and held off for that 10, 20 minutes. Mm. I think that has been the biggest shift for that Edinburgh team this year.
Absolutely. And we will come on to talk more about Edinburgh in Thistle issue number 3 when we ask, can Edinburgh beat Munster in their qualifier round for the semi-finals of the Pro 14? But before that, issue number 2, will...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Will the Super Six work? Now, this is off the back of this morning's announcement by the SRU that Ayr, Stirling County, Melrose, Watsonians, Heriots and Boroughmuir are the 6 chosen franchises to form the semi-pro Super Six from the 2019 season. Massive upheaval, and it has had a mixed review from some of the fans that we have seen on Twitter. Lads, what is your initial take on it? Matt?
I was so excited by this announcement. I was like checking Twitter the whole time. I think that there's obviously a lot of criticisms, but I still look at that and I think it's a pretty good mix. I think that obviously you've got the West Coast with Ayr, Melrose were always probably going to be the Borders team. I think Hoyt were the only other team that put in a bid.
Gala did.
Gala as well. But it sounded as if Hoyt actually during the process kind of took themselves out of the running. I've got no bones about that. Stirling County is an interesting one. I think it's got, you know, some links to the north, and pretty good facilities, pretty good combination with Stirling Uni. I think the Edinburgh one, sort of Boroughmuir, came out of left field a bit.
Yeah,
and that's a really interesting one. But I think looking at Boroughmuir's bid and looking at the website, they're building it around this like community feel, and that's the fact that they have a big set of pitches from different sports.
Do you know who else is in that community? Watsonians, about 0.2.
Well, no, I mean within the actual physical boundaries of Boroughmuir's pitch, which I think is owned by local council.
Yeah,
but there's different sports going on there, and you've arguably got some sort of like officey or kind of facilities that you can rent out, so that gives you another revenue stream.
Yeah,
I think. The major issue is the fact that there isn't a Glasgow team within the city, and that there is nothing north of Stirling County. So you've got a big old area to cover.
Yeah. I think you can look at it through two lenses. And one is we have 12 teams applying. The one thing we've said must happen is one team has to come from West Caledonia, Eastern Borders. And outside of that framework, we're going to give it to the 6 best bids.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've heard that the Dundee bid wasn't amazing. We've heard the Glasgow bid was relatively poor. And we know Curry have got their issues with essentially the pitch being quite rubbish.
Yeah.
And if you look at it through that lens, then it kind of feels like maybe, and obviously Aki's have also, the changing rooms and clubhouse are essentially a temporary.
Yeah, they don't exist yet.
Ports don't exist. So when you look at it through that lens, it kind of feels like, well, actually, maybe these 6 clubs were the best candidates on paper for the Super Six. Through another lens of growing the game and trying to build this kind of commercial entity, it feels like, A, missing out the city that has the best pro team and is by far the biggest city in Scotland feels like a long-term mistake. And also not trying to get something north of Stirling. And the funniest thing was people on Twitter saying, what about Aberdeen? Well, there was no bid.
I think the thing about Edinburgh is it attracted quite a lot of ire. A lot of people seeing it as like sort of classic Edinburgh old boys in blazers stitch up. I mean, it does seem to me that how do you build a commercial entity in Edinburgh? who cannot, they can get 5,000 people in to see Edinburgh Rugby. You then go three franchises, two of which are within literally like 500, 600 meters of one another. How are you going to build like proper fan bases for those three franchises, I think is an issue.
Yeah.
I think the Glasgow point is an issue as well, but again, we heard the Hawks bid was pretty crap, and you shouldn't give it, the SRU should not invest in something that is not going to be useful. But, you know, they also just don't have a big, there isn't a big Glasgow club.
I mean, Hawks are pretty big, and they are kind of what, their amalgamation of smaller clubs in order to create what is essentially a Glasgow
Super. Yeah, I suppose that's
club.
True.
Yeah.
And I guess when you look back to like 2007, people were chatting about disbanding the Warriors because they weren't
big
enough. They were getting smaller crowds than Borders at certain points. Mm. And it feels like they made that investment. They knew the size of the potential commercial
catchment,
opportunity.
Yeah.
And whilst maybe the Hawks bid wasn't too good, it felt like the SOU might just try and underwrite it and get it over the line.
That would be my point, that it just seems like that is the major opportunity missed for developing the game in a city where you've got no right for rugby to be popular.
Yeah, that's true.
It's done really, really well. And you look at the crowds that Glasgow get, like selling out Scots and having to put up temporary seating just to accommodate the people. That is my major gripe with it. But at the same time, it seems as if there was a bit of chat that they were going to make it into 8 teams. I'm glad they haven't been tempted to go down that route, because I'm sure they could have.
Yes.
There would have been 2 more bids where you could say, oh yeah, you could make arguments for having them.
I think the issue with 8 is that it spreads the quality of the player far too thin, I think, and the investment from the SRU doesn't back good enough squads for people to really, I think, to merit 8 teams. Mm. It'll be interesting to see, and this is lots of caveats, should it take off and it prove within this 6 group successful, that when the franchises come up again in 3 or 4 years' time, whether they then look at moving it up to an A. I imagine that's certainly what the SRU are hoping will happen, is that clubs will keep themselves and they will develop themselves on a 4 or 5 year plan to make themselves ready to bid for that next level.
Yeah, I think so. Which is quite difficult, I suppose. I think one of the interesting things you see is that each club seems to have sort of attached itself to either another smaller club or an educational institution. I think that's a really good thing, that the universities in particular in Scotland tend to have really good facilities. So I'm trying to think, like Heriot's going on board with Edinburgh College, using their facilities.
Melrose,
I think it's only a good
Heriot
thing.
Watt.
And there's a big sort of block of talent at those universities and colleges that I think often go missing slightly. And I think there's guys there that could definitely cut it at semi-pro, Prem 1 level at least. So
I think it's also...
I think that's good to see.
Yeah, I think that university is a really interesting catchment that Scottish rugby's not really been able to get at yet.
Yeah.
You think you've got these guys 18 to 22 years old, sort of in the prime of their lives, and if they have an opportunity, they've got the time to focus on the physicality and their rugby in a good environment. You think that's
definitely
another massive block of players, and something that has been successful in England with, look at Gloucester with Hartbury College and Loughborough.
Yeah.
I've got Loughborough students in National One, and it's a way of keeping good players going.
Yeah, which I suppose isn't the aim of the whole thing, but
it's not, but a kind of indirect
positive.
I think the wider point of it is to keep more people playing and offer more links to professional rugby.
Mm.
And I think that's definitely got to be seen as a benefit. Okay, so one word answers. Will the Super 6 work, Alan?
Potentially.
Matt?
Yes.
Oh!
Very positive.
That is.
Love that. Well, we will keep an eye.
I just want to be positive. I'm actually not sure if it will, but I want it to work.
Let's keep an eye on that. Right. We'll come back to the Super 6 in weeks to come, I am sure.
Quiz.
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Right. Let's do this. You good to go?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
Right. Minutes played in the Pro 14 this year. What 3 players for Glasgow have played the most minutes?
The most minutes.
In the Pro 14 this year.
That's a good question.
And for the person who came top, how many minutes did they play?
Oh my God. Who's played lots of rugby and not been injured? And not been on Scotland duty.
I know.
You've just got to think, who are those people that fulfill that bracket?
I think I've got that.
You got them?
Okay, move
three
on.
Glasgow, and then the top three at Edinburgh this year.
I don't have that.
Oh, God.
Two, I think, are pretty... You should get one that I thought was a bit rogue, and yeah. I didn't see coming. I'll let you have a little stew on that one.
I'm having a think about that.
Interesting little fact.
Join the minutes thinking? As well for the top one.
Guess the minutes for the top one.
I can't even think what that would be.
I know. That's the thing.
I will tell you that the right. top one for Glasgow started 16 games and was a sub in two.
So
and the top one for Edinburgh started 17 games and was a sub in none. Now, if these are wrong, blame Pro 14 stats, not me.
Always.
I'm not even sure if they've been updated for this weekend. So, interesting.
I've got a couple for each. I'll think of a third on their way.
Post this weekend, Edinburgh now have an higher average attendance this season than Glasgow.
What?
Do they bank all of the games at Murrayfield?
Yeah, they banked just over 25,000 this weekend.
Lovely.
So their average is 7,600, and Glasgow literally have highest attendance 7,351, lowest attendance 7,351.
You've got to get a median in there.
But if Edinburgh and Glasgow were in the Scottish Premiership, what ranking would their average attendance be?
What?
As in the Football Premiership.
Oh. It's like the top.
I was like, that's...
That's quite good.
So you're looking at 7,500. What would their ranking be in the Scottish Premiership?
Okay. Got something for that.
And
got,
the last
got two
question,
numbers.
The last question is, in the Pro 14's history, two Scotland players have won top try scorers. Who are those two players?
Two Scotland players
in the history of
Pro 14. Scotland players? As in, wait, are Scottish?
Are Scottish, have both got caps
both
for Scotland.
Both got caps for Scotland.
Have won top try scorers in the Pro 14.
Got one of them.
I think I've got one as well.
I mean, one has won it four times.
Yeah, I think I've got that one.
Get them.
Okay. Not sure about that one. I've got definitely got one of them.
Right.
I'll have a go.
What three Glasgow players have the most minutes this season based off Pro 14 stats at 4 PM today?
I'm gonna go Rui Jackson.
Yes,
see number
Rui
one.
Jackson is one, and he is number one.
You bastard. I had him as my number three.
That's fine. There's no ranking.
Oh, there's no ranking. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Oh, I had Jacko.
That's fair.
Sam Johnson.
Sam Johnson was not 824 minutes, coming about 7th or 8th.
Matt Smith?
Matt Smith, no.
Was he not?
No.
I was really confident about that one.
And Rob Harley?
Came 4th.
Oh.
1,066 minutes.
Well, that's all my guesses from Glasgow. So
George Horn?
One.
George Horn, no.
What?
No, 778 minutes this season. Number one, Jacko, 1,237. Oh, wait, what did you guys put?
1,120.
1,200.
Point goes to Matt.
Christ.
Second, Scott Cummings.
Really?
1,137. And third, Nick Grigg. 1,125.
Wow. Fair play.
So that was your top
good
three.
Good question.
Very good question.
Flip, reverse it. Edinburgh, who are your top three?
Blair Kinghorn.
Blair Kinghorn's number two.
I've got Kinghorn as well.
1,125.
Fraser McKenzie?
No.
Chris Dean?
No. Close, but no cigar. 941 minutes.
Cornell Dupria?
No, but he's all right as well. 908 minutes.
I've put Jamie Ritchie, but then I remembered he hurt his leg, so I don't think he's there.
He's not there.
He's miles away.
That's tough. I don't know.
So third was Grant Gilchrist.
Really?
On 1,074 minutes. The top one doesn't feel right. And I was going to check it, but then I had an email that I had to respond to, so I didn't have time.
That is fair enough.
Dougie Fife with 17 starts and 1,292 minutes.
He has played a lot.
Really?
And he's the top in the whole of, in both Edinburgh and Glasgow.
Wow.
Fair play.
Has he played that much?
Coming from he played at the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
He played against Munster when he scored, set up that quite nice try. That's all I can really remember him.
He must have done. We've been talking about the resurgence of Dougie Fife most of the year. It's been a narrative for the year because he was
from not having a contract.
He was basically told he wasn't going to have a contract.
But yeah, there you go. Right, if Edinburgh and Glasgow were in the Scottish Football Premiership, just so we'd be precise.
Yeah.
What position would they sit on average attendance?
Glasgow fourth, Edinburgh fifth.
I've gone eighth and ninth.
They would sit sixth and seventh.
Oh my God.
So Hearts get 18,000. Hearts and Hibs average 18,000.
Yeah, fair play.
Why are 18,000 people going to watch them? They're both so bad.
Nah, mate. Hibs are class this season.
They're
like
okay.
And then Aberdeen get 15,500. And there's a drop to Motherwell who get 5,500.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, there you go. They slip right in there.
Motherwell rules.
Find out Hamilton Accu Stadium's called the Super Seal Stadium.
I like that.
I like it as well. I like
it's like name. A type of oil or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty cool. Right, last question.
And last question. Who are the two Scottish players who have won the Pro 14 top try scorer? I'm really enjoying the fact that Dave's not got any likes. I can see his piece of paper.
No.
Visser.
Yeah, Visser's won
it
four times.
Yeah, I had that written down. No, I didn't.
Visser's won it four times. What are your thoughts on the second
one? I always forget about Tim Visser for some reason. He was an answer in a quiz a couple of weeks ago as well.
Visser won it 09-10, 10-11, 11-12, and 12-13. The other guy won it 08-09 and played for Glasgow.
Played for Glasgow?
I don't know.
I've got Seymour by doing this right.
I had Seymour written down as well.
Give us a clue. Give us another clue.
He likes to dance.
Max Evans.
Tom Evans.
Tom Evans.
Tom Evans.
Technically, you were right with the clue.
Yeah.
It was Max Evans, Strictly.
No, Max Evans was on the Dancing on Ice.
Tom
Evans was on Strictly.
Sorry.
Let's not split hairs on that
Tom Evans. Oh, fair enough.
I didn't keep up, but
I think Matt won. It was fairly low scoring across the board, I do think Matt won.
Yeah, it was interesting, some of the stats. More of Edinburgh Scotland players they've had way more game time than Glasgow Scotland.
I was really surprised that Gilchrist had so many minutes.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the top Edinburgh players seem to have played a lot of game time, whereas most of the Glasgow players were looking at sort of 7, 8, 9 caps, which I guess maybe just shows the resurgence of Edinburgh throughout this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that, Alan. And I'm looking forward to the end of season quiz. There's going to be lots of good stats-based questions there.
/ Lord of the Rings theme.
/ Lord of the Rings theme. You have been talking about the Lord of the Rings. So look forward to that.
Question 1 of 33. Silmarillion. Anyway, move on.
Right. Issue number 3, looking ahead to Edinburgh's playoff match against Munster. Matt, can Edinburgh beat Munster at Thomond Park?
I mean, they've got absolutely nothing to lose on a good streak. I think the way they're playing this season, compared to when, you know, even if they had good Heineken Cup runs, that was when they were playing a pretty open style of rugby. And nowadays they are a lot stronger in the pack. So that should stand them in pretty good stead going over to Thomond Park. I still think that, you know, Munster are miles ahead in terms of winning mentality of big matches, and they are at home. So they're going to be pretty hard pushed to win. So I don't think they can.
Yeah, I guess, obviously, Munster out of the Champions Cup rested most of their team this week. Whether that's going to deflate them or whether that's just going to motivate them to absolutely smash Edinburgh now that their only focus is the Pro 14. I can see a very valiant loss. Maybe sort of getting 10 to 14 points back and then never really being able to claw back that points difference. But look, I think they'll give it a good shot.
Would a Valiant loss still represent a really, really positive season for Edinburgh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I still think they'll be kicking themselves about that loss to Cardiff
in the
Challenge Cup, because I think they definitely would have beaten Poe. And then, you know, you've got whoever you're facing in the final there, you know, Gloucester, I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Gloucester have been pretty shaky this season, I think. So apart from that, it's definitely.
I guess I'm trying to think. It almost feels like Edinburgh are better equipped to take on Munster than Glasgow are, though.
I think so.
It feels like that Edinburgh pack are going to be better equipped to deal with your Omanis and your Standers. They probably won't win.
Conor Murray is the major difference, I think.
I think if we end up falling into that, into their game plan, end up they just base themselves in the Edinburgh half and they just grind and grind and grind, it could be a really sort of long night for Edinburgh. Yep. But look, as I said, nothing to lose at Tolman Park. I think this team has it in them.
So do I.
Really looking forward to it. What, 3 o'clock this Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
3 o'clock on Saturday. What an absolute belter. So let's end on that with some predictions. Matt, what do you reckon?
I think Edinburgh will lose by 10.
Alan?
Edinburgh will lose by 8.
I also think Edinburgh will lose, but I think it will be a little bit closer. So
I'm
5
also
points.
Going to be at the Prem 1, Prem 2 playoff on Saturday. Glasgow Hawks against Jed at Last Wade.
So if you're where at Last Wade and you see a weird looking bloke with a beard and glasses, go up and say hello.
I have my dog as well, a Springer Spaniel. I think Glasgow Hawks will beat them, which would be a bit of a shame, but I mean, Jed would get absolutely killed in Prem 1.
So. Yeah. Which would be good. Very quickly, well done to Melrose. Double,
yep.
Killed Stirling County.
I watched a bit of the game. Yeah. It was hardly a contest.
Matt Wally was just like, what am I doing here?
He got burned by Ross McCann, had to go off. Ross McCann proceeded to score 4 tries.
Yeah, pretty good. Right,
well
done,
wrap up. Right, thanks a lot for joining us again, guys. Please follow us on Twitter at @ThistleRugbyPod, on Instagram, @Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Why not send us an email, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts.
Just tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, let us know what you're up to.
I'm quite bored, to be honest.
We're bored at work. We want more distractions while we're at work. And please, please, please get on iTunes, leave us a review, and we will read that out on the pod. We will see you next week, guys. Cheers.
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 Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.